Ahoy, hello, welcome back to another episode of Spilling Labrador Tea Under Cedar Trees with Kate and Matt.
Yes, welcome back on this grayish Sunday, and we're so excited to be doing our third episode of season two with a very special person.
Number three.
Who do we have in the house today?
We have the lovely Paige.
Paige is one of our besties who's located in Toronto, and I invite you to introduce yourself.
Uflami, hi everyone. Thanks for having me. My name is Paige Kimiksana-Krups, and I am a Nuvialik from Tuktoyaktuk, but I grew up in Toronto, or in the vicinity, and my dad is Dutch-American, so I have a nice little mixed family. I'm not sure how much more I need to say right now, but I guess I will be talking about my journey soon. Thanks for having me. This is so exciting.
Yes. We're so excited to get to chat about all of the wonderful things that have happened with colonialism. Woo! You are our second Inuk that we've got to come and chat with us about your personal experience, as well as like cultural experience, your family's experience as much as you can. And basically the first question is, what was your experience? What has colonialism been for your family?
Yeah. So that's a bit of a doozy of a question, but I'm ready to try my best to answer that. So I feel like it's really important to always say, like, this is my experience. Mm-hmm. I don't speak for all Inuit. Mm-hmm. I don't speak for all Inuvialuit, but I think, like, there's a lot of Inuvialuit and a lot of Inuit that can connect with my story. And I've kind of been learning that over the past few years of being in community and, like, working with the community. So, yeah, colonialism has affected everybody differently, of course. But I think one of the ways that it affected me the most was just being disconnected from my family. Mm-hmm. So I grew up with my brother and my dad in Ontario, away from my Inuit side. And it wasn't until I was a teenager that I started, like, reconnecting with my mom and reconnecting with my family. So I think, like, just growing up without my culture is one of the things that colonialism kind of took from me. Mm-hmm. But obviously decolonizing, which we'll talk about later, has allowed me to start reconnecting, and that's been really, really nice. I think another way that colonialism has affected me is, like, the loss of language and the loss of my cultural teachings. But I'm really excited to be spending more time up north now that I have, like, a bit of an income, and I have a little bit more time to go up north and spend with my family. We have some, like, really knowledgeable language keepers, and we have some really amazing hunters and seamstresses. So It's so special whenever I get to go up north and kind of reconnect with my culture in that way. And then I think a third thing, like, the whole urban Inuit identity, it feels like, I don't know, it's kind of navigating colonialism a lot in my day-to-day life. Toronto is such an amazing, diverse place, and it's my favorite place that I've lived. Like, I really enjoy it here, but the Inuit community is quite small. It's only recently that we've started, like, gathering and, like, creating a space for ourselves. And it's been really nice being a part of the greater Indigenous community, and most of my friends are Indigenous and First Nations and Métis. But I think that kind of amalgamation and, like, what is it? What's that term called when it's, like, just all the Indigenous cultures, like, mixed together?
Pan-Indigeneity.
I feel like that's one of the effects that I feel a lot in Toronto. So it's really nice to be able to work with the Inuit community specifically and, like, create Inuit specific programs and services so that we can have our own space, and then we can also appreciate other Indigenous cultures as well. So yeah, I think it's like a day-to-day thing where we're learning to live inside of a colonial world. And I mean, I love Toronto and it's not at all like my traditional territories, but it's 2022, so we're living life.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And just being like able for all of us to get together when we were in Toronto for Imaginative and spend time together and eat together, which is like very special because I feel like the urban Inuit community, we're very interesting in the way that there is always like an Inuk in a major city. Like we can always find each other.
There's always one.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we will gather whenever we can. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Imaginative, it was so great to see you guys.
Oh my God. It was lovely to finally get to meet you in person.
Oh my gosh. After so long, huh?
Yeah.
Another thing that was really amazing that I personally got to experience firsthand, even though obviously I'm not Inuit, it was both like heartwarming, but also like heartbreaking in the sense of like, especially like being so close with Caitlin, like knowing that you need to be in specific urban centers to be able to access things like country food or resources from back home. Being over here in BC, especially on the island, like it's surprisingly so remote and removed from everything, and being able to access those cultural items or just food in general and just having that connection is very, very difficult. And I'm just wondering, not necessarily directly with that, but like in general, what else do you see needs to be kind of done in order to have more reclamation of culture and food, both I would say in urban centers and also back up north as well?
Yeah. I feel like I speak a lot from my experience as an urban Inuk, and country food is such a huge part of that. And it's so crazy that you two got to have muktak and try like traditional Inuit food in downtown Toronto. But yeah, just having access to that is so important. And it's so difficult. A lot of our country food gets sent to Ottawa, and then we have to like find a way to get it from Ottawa to Toronto without it melting. Yeah. And I can't even imagine like how difficult it is to get it in Victoria, but I would recommend maybe finding some Inuvialuit that are hunting up in like Northwest Territories and then get it sent somehow there. I think it's really just like community building and like finding those families that are sending country food down south. But I think that's one of the important things we need to do to reclaim. I feel like more travel between the north and the south is key. Like, it's really sad that I know so many like non-Inuit that have gone up north for work. But you know, Inuit don't have those same opportunities, or I don't know, it's just not really funded that well. I'm really excited now that there's a flight from Toronto to Iqaluit. And I hope to be on it one day soon. But yeah, just having more opportunities for, you know, urban Inuit to go back up north, and then also for Inuit up north to come visit us here. That's so huge. I think land back is a pretty key part of resetting the impacts of colonialism. Yeah, just that's a hard question.
Yeah, no, definitely. Just like the barrier in itself of cost of going home or homecoming to us is really a key issue. And I know like there's lots of like amazing Inuit trying to reduce that barrier or try to change the way flights work, but it's going to be an ongoing challenge because the way colonialism has impacted our communities and the way that we only can fly in, which is not right, and
yeah,
is really, really difficult.
Yeah. And also, like, that tricky situation of being like, well, if we bring infrastructure up there, like, what would be the environmental repercussions of doing that? And with global warming and everything, of just, like, the challenge of, like, that resources in itself are starting to diminish, and that becoming also a larger part of the challenge of being able to even just try to bring food down to the south when there's sometimes not even enough for everybody back home. And I know that's been tricky and hard to hear, that that's a huge challenge as well.
Yeah, now that you're talking about climate change, I was like thinking about what I was going to say for the first question, and you know, like as an urban Inuk, like I was talking more about like my relationship with the city of Toronto and like being in the south, but there's so many amazing Inuvialuit that are really bringing like climate change to the forefront and really talking about the effects that it's had on our communities up north. And there's a really great documentary called Happening to Us that a bunch of youth from Tuktoyaktuk created, and they actually like they brought it around the world. Like people were talking about this all over, and like we need more of that, because yeah, so many people don't know that the north is the most highly affected place in terms of climate change, and my community of Tuktoyaktuk is literally falling into the ocean because of coastal erosion. So yeah, just like first of all, there's displacement of our people, and then second of all, yeah, like our communities are literally like falling away. And that's so sad, because yeah, we need to be able to protect our territories.
No, definitely. It is super sad. And then I feel you might feel similarly too, of like being an urban Inuk and like that, like questioning your role within climate advocacy or any kind of other advocacy, because of like feeling that you bring a unique perspective of being like, yes, I'm a displaced person and I'm Inuk and I live in different territory and I can see things differently, because all these things that can be seen as weaknesses are actually very much strengths.
Yeah, I feel like I have a unique voice, and then I also want to be able to amplify the voices of the people with the lived experience of like living up north. But there's so many Inuit that live down south, like 40% of us now live outside of our traditional territories, so we definitely need a voice as well.
Yeah, we need better infrastructure and better services for our people. I could talk about this all day.
Like, where do we even start?
I think that's the hard part, is like, one, our questions are like fairly narrow, but at the same time, like, we hope that like this at least starts that conversation piece, so that way like others are like, hey, like, but like, what about this and what about that? You're like, but what about it? Like, let's talk about it. Like, so we're hoping.
Yeah, you're talking to like so many cool people from different backgrounds that like these same questions are gonna, the answers are gonna be so different. Fun learning experience.
Basically, our next question is like, what more do you think needs to be done, both for like reclamation, but also like leading into decolonization work, and like how those go hand in hand in some fashion?
I kind of look to a few people that are doing really cool things that are like breaking boundaries and not doing things like the way things have always been done. Because yeah, that's all of the good work happens outside the box, you know? So I get really excited by like Inuvialuktan language revitalization. So there's a couple amazing young people that are, you know, using Instagram to share what they're learning about our language. Alice Thrasher has a really cool account on Facebook and Instagram, and then Nikita Larder also does a lot of like really cool language learning. So I think bringing our language to our communities and also to our urban communities is really cool. I think also the Dachinta on the Land School is really, really cool, and I hope I can go to it one day. I was actually supposed to take a course in August, and then I got sick, so I wasn't able to go, but they were doing like a sod house building outside of Tuktoyaktuk, and they were also teaching about indigenous governance. So I thought that would be like such a cool opportunity to go back to my home territory to learn, and then you also get like a UBC credit out of it. So and it's like it's led by indigenous leaders, and it's just like a nice 2 weeks on the land. I think they started it in Yellowknife, and I've also spent a couple of summers in Yellowknife because that's where my mom lives. So just such like beautiful territory to be learning on. And I hope to do that one day because, it's hard to learn about decolonization like inside of a classroom setting. I'm sure you too know. Like universities, I love learning and I love going to school, but yeah, it's cool to see that there's different types of learning happening elsewhere. And what else does decolonization look like? I feel like just living life. Like,
Just being
yeah.
me.
Just live your life. Like, I think we're all great examples of it. Like, it was so nice being in Toronto at Imaginative with you all. Like, we were sitting down to a nice dinner and we got to like chat and laugh, talk about our successes, talk about what we've learned. And, you know, our ancestors like paved a path for us to be successful, and we are doing really, really great things. And I feel like, yeah, decolonization in part has to be us like looking back at ourselves and like being proud of who we are, being proud of what we've been through, and how we are, you know, like we're doing our work to make things better for the next generation too. So, like decolonization doesn't have to be like an academic term or like I don't know, just like being on the land every day. It could just be us trying to live our lives. Live your life, girl.
Yeah, I think that's interesting in the sense of like trying to like change the way that people look at the word decolonization and trying to take it
Definitely.
away out of like the academic field and make it more accessible to everybody, because like decolonization is not just going to happen in universities and colleges. It's got to happen in like everyone's just daily lives.
Hey, trying.
Trying.
That's what, yeah, every day you
Trying.
gotta tell folks it comes from within first. Which
And like
is.
for me, oh yeah. For me, I work with the Inuit community in Toronto, so it's not like I'm decolonizing by like going ice fishing or like, you know, like up north. Like it's happening here. We're able to like create a home for Inuit here. We're able to do more cultural programming, like service navigation, just like making life easier for Inuit living in Toronto. And I see that as decolonization. And yeah, it can be a little monotonous like day to day, but taking a further step back, you realize like, yeah, we're all putting in the work.
Definitely. And I think that's probably the other thing that we're really excited about is just getting to see how everyone approaches this conversation differently and like and in like a obviously a situational manner of being like, what does decolonization look like to you? And I mean, it looks vastly different for everybody depending on their context. And it's interesting of like speaking with Katie May, who lives up north, and like getting to learn kind of what her idea of decolonization is, and then looking at, you know, the Inuit urban community and like getting to see how they approach decolonization for Inuit culture.
Yeah, and just seeing the similarities between the two, and then I'm excited too to see what it looks like globally as well. I think that's gonna be very interesting and very useful for all of us that are doing the work, that we're not alone in the work, because I do feel like stuff like this does make us feel isolated. And it's comforting to know, like, no, someone in New Zealand is doing this too. So if they can do it, I can do it. We can do it together.
We can all do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's so nice to have that, like, connected community. And it's so cool that you're doing this. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. What other context would we hear all of these different voices and, like, be able to learn from each other?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
All right. Your last questions.
Oh, okay. My last question. Is it, like, my famous last question?
Yeah, your famous last question.
Yes. Okay, great.
Now that I remember, instead of me being like, oh, that was it. Thanks for coming out. And she's like, oh, wait, there's more.
My favorite question to one of my favorite people. What is your favorite thing about being an urban Inuk? What are your top three favorite things about being an urban Inuk?
Okay, yeah. Thanks for making it easier by allowing for more than one. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Just me giving her the hand signals. Like three, not one.
Yes. Okay, I like that. Top three things about being an urban Inuk. That's tricky. I mean, I really like that, like, even though we're a really small community, we're still able to gather. And, you know, Toronto's such a big place. And, yeah, just, like, that little piece of home.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice to be able to come together and, like, feel like I'm home. I feel like a second thing, Inuit have always been nomadic. So I like that I'm able to be here. I'm able to, like, travel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a hard question. and what else? I feel like, yeah, Inuit are adaptable. So mm-hmm. we've always adapted to our different climates. And that's what we're doing here in the city of Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And a third thing, I mean, I love the power of Instagram. I feel like, yeah. Kate, like, we've connected on Instagram for, like, 3 years now,
yeah.
after meeting 3 years ago. and I've met, like, so many cool Inuit on Instagram from all over Canada, mm-hmm. even from, like, further. And I don't know. I don't know if that's, like, so much urban Inuit as much as, like, just being an Inuk in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I really like being able to connect online because... yeah, our communities are so far away from each other, mm-hmm. but yeah, we can still have that platform online.
Those are great answers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was so funny. one of the other...
What's your answer?
Right? I was just going to be like, Caitlin, I don't think we've ever asked you.
That's okay.
What are your top three things? We'll get there. What were you going to say?
It was funny, Paige. One of your friends that you introduced us to while we're in Imaginative, who's also Inuk, messaged me on Instagram, and, like, we followed each other. And I was like, oh my goodness, mm-hmm. are you going to be at the opening? And I was like, sorry, like, what? And she's like, are you going to be there? And I was like, be where? Like, in Toronto? And she's like, you're not in Toronto? And I was like, no.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I live in BC. And she's like, oh my God.
Very far.
So yeah. far. But I was like, oh, that's so sweet. And just, I really enjoy how fast we build community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, back to you.
Gotta look out for each other.
Exactly.
Yeah. Lateral love.
Right? It's so fast. Mm-hmm. Oh no, my top three favorite things would be urban Inuk will maybe be in a surprise episode.
In a surprise episode?
Yeah.
Who does surprise episodes?
You gotta stay tuned.
I guess stay tuned for a surprise episode.
Teacher Mask did not sign up for this.
It'll be $50. I can get my nails done.
Well, I think, because honestly, I my answers would change with each time you ask.
Which is not a bad
exactly,
thing.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Just means that there's just so much more to learn every time, and you're like, whoa, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I think that's dope.
There's actually 17 things.
Yeah.
You told me I only had three.
Everybody only gets three. Yeah. I get 17.
It's the rules of running the
show.
You
just get to listen to everybody's first and then, like, take their answers.
Yeah.
Like, oh, she's writing a book secretly.
I didn't think of that. Yeah.
I guess like one of my favorite things is, well, it's like kind of about being an urban Inuk, but I think really just like an Inuk in general is that going like to a Karawit and people looking at me real hard, right? And you can just see them like calculating like, who are you? Or like, who do you look like? And then them being like, oh my goodness, you're Willie's grandkid, right? And you're like,
like, who's your family?
And then being like, yeah, I'm one of Willie's 18,000 grandchildren.
She starts pointing to the crowd. I'm related to all of you.
That's how we're decolonizing. Big counties.
You're taking all my over.
I realize another thing that I like about being an urban Inuk is that I'm a really good navigator. Like, I'm the friend that is like, okay, this is where we're going. This is how we get there. And then all my other friends are like lost. Like, Inuit have always been good at navigating.
Natural geographers.
One of my skills.
Away from me. You get lost. Don't even. We ended up on Cook Street last night, right? Like,
I only say this about Toronto too, and maybe Vancouver. Yeah. Montreal, I got really lost in, but Toronto, I've gotten really good at navigating.
So did I.
Actually, yeah, a teacher was a boss when it came to navigating Toronto.
My first time there, a couple days in, and I was like, we're going, it's in this direction. And then they're like, yeah, it is. How do you know that? I was like, I need to know.
Yes.
I was secretly born
here. Just follow the CN Tower.
Yeah.
It's our North Star.
Love it. Yeah.
I love it.
Well, if did you have any other last remarks? Any other thing that you thought like would be beneficial to the conversation? This is your time.
I mean, I just like that I'm able to have these conversations with you, and like I really like that my friends in Toronto, like, we're also like open to having these discussions. Like, we're all learning together, and it's been really fun. I don't know. I feel like I'm getting shy now.
It's all good.
Well, you have a really great platform, and thank you for inviting me, and I can't wait to hear the rest of the season, because, it seems like there's going to be some good discussions happening.
Well, thank you.
Kuyanami nakumi, my friend.
Kuyanani, thank you.
We're so happy that you could join us. I mean, we would have been happy if you were here in person to do it, but, you know.
Next time. Our
go-to for a lot of our friends, but very happy that we got to at least spend some time together previously to be able to share a meal and some stories.
Lay the groundwork.
Right. Gotta build that. Alrighty.
All right. Well, teacher, where can you find us?
You can find us on any podcasting platform. I'm talking Spotify, Pocket Podcast. Where else?
Apple Podcasts.
I'm already forgetting podcasts. There's that one German one that I can't remember every time. I gotta look it up. I'm gonna remember.
Also, now I saw Austria.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we're making it somewhere.
We're going to Germany. All right. And as usual, please follow us on Instagram at spillinlabt_cedartrees.
Yeah.
And as usual, we will see you later.
See you later.
Namoltis. Thank you.